The world will try to satisfy that longing in your soul. You may search the wide world o'er, but you'll be just as before. You'll never find true satisfaction until you found the Lord. For only Jesus can satisfy your soul. Satisfy your soul, only Jesus can satisfy your soul. Only He can change your heart and make you whole. He'll give you peace you never knew, sweet love and joy in heaven too. For only Jesus can satisfy your soul. If you could have the fame and fortune, all the wealth you could obtain, yet you have not Christ within, your living here would be in vain. There'll come a time when death shall call you, riches cannot help you then. So come to Jesus, for only He can satisfy. Only Jesus can satisfy your soul. Only He can change your heart and make you whole. He'll give you peace you never knew, sweet love and joy in heaven too. For only Jesus can satisfy your soul.
I want you to look this morning in John chapter 3. I want to read one verse to start with there. It's a familiar verse. Everybody should know it. And it says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." I suppose the whole Bible is centered around that one verse, because if that verse weren't true, the rest of the Bible wouldn't have too much meaning. Now, it says in that verse, it says that God had a love for the world, and God not only had a love for the world, He done something about it. But God put some conditions on that love. He put the condition is that you've got to believe that Christ gave Himself for our sins, and you've got to trust that He's the only way that God can save you. And I want to preach this morning on the results of Christ's death. Now, there's no way I could cover all this. The Bible is filled with it. But I want to bring out this morning some important things that we know and that we have as a result of Christ's death. A lot of times, the results of something will determine the value of it. For instance, let's take one place in the Bible where the death of Christ revealed the nature of God. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world." Well, if God hadn't have gave Himself for the world, I wouldn't have known that to be true. I could have heard it, but I couldn't have known it. This morning, I know what kind of a God I'm living for. I know what kind of a God that saved me. I know that the God that I'm talking about has a nature of love. I know that. And I'm not talking about this positive junk going on today. I'm talking about the reality of what the Word is. A lot of people, they talk about love and don't even know what love is. Look at 1 John in chapter 3. In 1 John chapter 3 and in verse 16, it says, "Hereby perceive," and that word simply means to know or to have. It says, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, that we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Now the Bible says he laid down his life. They didn't take it. He said in John chapter 10, he says, no man taketh my life from me. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it up again. This I receive of my Father. Christ came in the world and willingly gave his life, lay it down, so that we could be saved. And the results of that, we know the nature of God. And the Bible says in verse 16 that we know the love of God because he laid down his life for us. The results of Christ's death shows me that the only reason that I can have a love for other people and you can have a love for me is because of Christ's death. I mean, the world don't have a love for each other. Read your newspaper if you think they do. They're killing each other and they're destroying each other and everything else. But God's people, because of Christ's death, we understand and know what love is, and we can display a love for not only for the world, but for other people. Why, this morning, if Christ hadn't laid down his death, why, the church people would be just as wicked, and a lot of times, a lot of them are, but I'm talking about, you know, where they ought to be. But if Christ hadn't laid down his life, we'd be as wicked and wouldn't have no more can love for nobody than the world does. But this morning, because of the results of Christ's death, we have a love for one another. We wouldn't even know what love was if Christ hadn't laid down his life. The Bible says, for God so loved, he gave. Love is giving. God gave something. And if you have a love for God, you ought to be willing to give something. But anyway, the Bible says that the results of the death of Christ reveal to us the nature of God. And not only did it reveal his nature, the death of Christ reveal the justice of God. Let's take our Bible and go to Romans chapter 3. I want to show you something back over there. In Romans chapter 3, I'm not preaching too much doctrine this morning, but I am giving you some practical things. In Romans chapter 3, God gives a condition the world was in. And in Romans chapter 3, and look there at verse 13, the Bible said their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongue they've used deceit. The poison of ash is upon their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. And in verse 15 it says their feet are swift to shed blood. The Bible said in verse 16, destruction and misery are in their way, and the way of peace they have not known. This is the results, this is the condition the world was in when God had a love for it. And when Jesus Christ laid down his life for the world, this is the condition the world was in. This is the condition the unsaved people are in this morning without Christ. And look up there in verse 25 what God did about this condition. In verse 25, Romans chapter 3, it says, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation. Propitiation means a payment or to satisfy. In other words, the death of Christ satisfied God for the condition that the world was in. And it says there, a propitiation through faith in his blood. There's what it took, folks. It took the shed blood of Christ to justify a sinner this morning. And the Bible says there that God set forth his blood to declare his righteousness. God declared his own personal righteousness by the death of Jesus Christ on the cross there. And then it says, not only did God reveal that, but God revealed his wrath in judgment at the death of the cross. Let me read you a verse over here in Matthew chapter 27. I'm going hurriedly through a lot of scriptures this morning, because if I don't, I won't even get halfway through with this message. In Matthew chapter 27 there, and verse 46, as Christ died on the cross there, the Bible says, in about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? God revealed his wrath on Jesus Christ on the cross. God put Jesus Christ on the cross. He died. He laid down his life there on the cross. And when he did, God put the sin of the world on him. And God turned his back on him. And he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And folks, let me tell you something this morning. One day, every unsaved person, as he goes off in the fires of hell, will turn back and say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? God's wrath is revealed in the death of his Son, Jesus Christ. And not only that, by the death of Christ, he purchased for himself all those that trust him and believe in him. Let's look over there at this thing as a whole first in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25. Notice what the Bible says. It says, husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Notice, folks, there that the Bible said that Christ purchased the church. He gave himself. He died to save the sinners. Now, let me stop there just a minute and say a little bit about the church. The church this morning is not the group. Now, I know some of you preachers say, well, every letter that Paul wrote there was to a Baptist church or was to an independent church. I know all that, but I'm talking about the church as a whole. The church as a whole is not no certain system. It's not no certain denomination. But the church is the body of saved people. The church is the individual souls that God salvaged from the junkyard of this world that was hell-bound, hell-deserving sinners, and that God saved by His grace through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. God took you a hell-bound, hell-deserving sinner and made you a saint fit for heaven. Now you might say, well, I'm not fit for heaven. If you saved, you are. Because God, when He saved you, He made you that way. The death of Christ made you a saint fit for heaven. Whether you like it or not, that's where you're going. You might well get ready. If you're saved, you're going to heaven. And on the other hand, if you're not saved, you're going to hell. I don't care how churchy you are, how religious you are, how good you are, and on and on and on. So the death of Christ, He purchased all believers for Himself. And also Christ on the cross, the Bible says there in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Let me read you a verse over there. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And the Bible says there that you are not your own, that you was bought with a price. And that price was the blood of Jesus Christ. He said in verse 24, you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, folks, when something is bought, it changes hands or it gets a new owner. And the Bible says that you was bought with a price. I mean, before you were saved, you belonged to the devil. The Bible said over in Ephesians chapter 2, it said that you walked according to the course of this world. I mean, the devil sets the course of this world. He sets a course, and he tells unsaved people how to follow it, and they go right along with it. And it's sad to say this morning, but a lot of saved people do the same thing. But I'm telling you something this morning. The Bible said the devil's the god of this world, and the Bible said before you got saved that you walked according to the course of this world. And the Bible also said in Ephesians 2, it said that you lived according to the prince, the power of the air, and you were controlled by the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience before you got saved. And the Bible said in that same chapter, chapter 2, it says your whole life was geared to fulfilling the lust of the flesh and the lust of the mind, and says you was by nature a child of wrath before you got saved. And when Christ died on the cross and a man receives Christ as his Savior, he no longer belongs to the devil. He no longer comes on this category then. He belongs to God Himself. He's purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ takes possession of his soul and his spirit. And one day he'll take possession of this body. Boy, I'm glad of that, ain't you? Bible says there, when God saved us, he made us a son of God by a new birth. The Bible said God predestinated us to be conformed to the image of His Son. The Bible said God blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. The Bible said God reconciled us to Himself. And the Bible said God made us a follower of Him and declared us to be perfectly righteous through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And brother, that's just some of the benefits of belonging to Jesus Christ. That's a few of them. The Bible's filled with them. So the death of Christ, Christ's death on the cross purchased all those that believe for Himself. And it's Titus chapter 2 and verse 14. Let's look at a verse over there. Titus chapter 2 and verse 14. It says over there, it says, who gave Himself for us? It says, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us. There it is. He bought us. He redeemed us by His blood. He bought us with His own blood. And the Bible says there, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity. Notice that thing, not just a few things, but the Bible says from all iniquity. And the Bible says, and purify unto Himself a peculiar people. I guarantee you this morning, if you belong to Jesus Christ, God wants you pure and God wants you peculiar. And the Bible says there, a peculiar people zealous of good works. In other words, when we belong to God, God gives us a zeal to do something worthwhile. Folks, let me tell you something this morning. No unsaved person ever done nothing. Now, when I say this, I'm talking about in the sense of eternity and the sense of God. No unsaved person ever done nothing worth talking about as far as eternity is concerned. You say, well, there's a lot of great men in this world. They've made a lot of great inventions. They've made a lot of progress and all that. I don't care what they've done. If they don't belong to Jesus, if they've never done nothing for God, what they've done won't mean nothing in eternity. This space program that all the nations spending all these billions of dollars on and the whole world's got their eyes on, when God brings judgment to this world, it won't be worth 20 cents. Brother, the Bible says there, He gave Himself for us. He gave Himself that He might redeem us. He had to buy us. We was in the hawk shop of the devil. We was under hawk. And brother, we was held there and we couldn't get out. And couldn't nobody pay the price until Jesus gave Himself. His blood was the price that got us out of the devil's hawk shop. And made us something fit for the glory of God and the heavenly places where we could never be without Jesus Christ. The Bible said over there in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, as Paul wrote that to the elders there at Ephesus, he said, take heed therefore unto yourself. He's talking about the preachers or the elders. He said, take heed therefore unto yourself and to all the flock. There's the saved people. All the flock was the Holy Ghost made you overseer. And he says to feed the church of God. The church, those that have been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. He said to feed the church of God, which he's purchased with his own blood. It took the blood of Christ to purchase you from the devil. And then you got these crowd running around telling you, well, if you don't do this, you ain't saved. And if this happens, you ain't saved. And shut up. You don't know what you're talking about. But let me tell you something. When the blood of Christ bought you, it bought you eternally. It bought you forever. Boy, the devil hates this verse. Boy, the devil can't stand a verse like that. Brother, the church this morning, the church I'm talking about is blood bought and sealed by the Holy Ghost of God, waiting for a perfect redemption at the rapture. And brother, we got all these benefits this morning through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. We ain't got them through no system, no denomination, or nothing like this. This is all through the blood of Christ. And not only that, but the death of Christ, He put away sins. Boy, I'm glad He put away sins. Not only did He put away past sins. The Bible said, I read this verse just a minute ago. The Bible said in Romans chapter 3 and verse 25, it said, whom God set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. It said there, that's talking about back there in the Old Testament there, when all them Old Testament priests When they come in that tabernacle and all the blood they shed back there, the Bible says from Abel to Zechariah, none of that blood didn't save nobody. It didn't save nobody. But when Jesus Christ shed His blood, that took care of all their sins, and God justified their sin just like He does ours today. Not only does the death of Christ put away sins past, but it puts away sins present. Notice there in Romans chapter 5, Romans 5 and verse 9, it says, much more then, being now justified by His blood. There's the means of justification. It's the blood of Christ. The Bible says there more, much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. We've been justified by the blood now, and when wrath comes, it'll have no effect on us because we've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And this was all done there at Calvary. And not only does the death of Christ put away past sins and present sins, but it puts away future sin. I mean, the blood of Christ has been effective 2,000 years. It's effective today, and it'll be effective a long time after this. Let's look in the Bible in Revelation chapter 7. In Revelation chapter 7, I don't know when this is going to be. I don't know how far away it's going to be, but I do know this. The blood of Christ, somebody wrote a song one time and said, the blood of Christ shall never lose its power. Boy, whoever wrote that song must have been a reading the Bible. Because I'm going to tell you this morning, it ain't lost its power in 2,000 years, and it'll never lose its power. Over there in Revelation chapter 7, and look there at verse 9. John said, after this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and tongues, people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. That means they had victory. They were holding up the palms, and that's what it means. You know, they get excited sometimes because we, you know, hold up our hands and shout, but brother, that's the victory. And brothers, for our salvation, we can hold up our hands and shout the victory this morning because Christ Jesus has took care of it. And then down there, and let me read just a couple more verses here. And he said in verse 10, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. That's who we're talking about this morning. We're talking about the Lamb. And look down there. John said he saw this crowd. He said it was so many people, you couldn't even number them. And he began to ask questions, said, who is this? Where do all these come from? And he said down there in verse 14, and I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Now that's future. I don't know how far away it is. It could be 10 years. It could be 100 years. But I know this. When that time comes, the blood of Christ is going to be the ones that's going to be responsible for getting them there at the throne of God. And folks, this morning, I don't care who you are, how long you've been around, from Pentecost on, everyone that stands up there will stand there because of the blood of Christ. Because He gave Himself. And that's something else this includes. You say, well, who are you talking about there? This includes everybody. Brother, I mean this includes everybody. There's no exceptions. The Bible said in John chapter 1, verse 29, John was down there at the River Jordan. He was baptizing people one morning, telling them about the kingdom, telling them about Jesus. And he looked up and he saw Him coming. Huh? John looked up and saw Him coming. One day we're going to look up and He's going to be there. Amen. And you know what John said? John said, behold, the Lamb of God that take away the sin of the world. The Lamb of God that take away the sin of the world. In 1 John chapter 2 there, let me show you something else over there. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2, the Bible said, and He is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. The Bible said there that Christ Jesus did not only die for us that are saved, but every man, let me tell you something this morning, folks, here's the sad thing about men and women, boys and girls, dying and go to hell this morning. They want to die and go to hell, and they could have been saved. There was enough blood shed on Calvary to save this whole world. And yet most of them this morning are lost, known the way to hell, and ain't heard nothing about it. But I'm telling you something this morning. Everybody in this town could be saved this morning. Everybody in this state could be saved this morning. I mean, the Bible said there, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. The Bible said He's the propitiation for our sins, and not only ours, but for the whole world. And then over there in the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, verse 26, the Bible says, He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. Christ Jesus came in the world to put away sins, not by the blood of animals, and not by a new era, and not by telling you what to do good, how to do good. But He come in this world to put away sins by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And nothing this morning, nothing will put away sins but the blood of Jesus Christ. Nothing. And then something else. To the saved person this morning, of course, the blood of Christ means more to a saved person than an unsaved person. But by the death of Christ, we receive all the blessings of God. You know something this morning? This Bible is filled with promises and blessings and benefits that we have in Christ Jesus. It's filled up. That'd be, somebody said one time, there's over 30-something thousand of them. And I wouldn't question that one bit. But you know something? There wouldn't be a one of them we could claim if it weren't for the shed blood of Jesus Christ. There wouldn't be one that we could claim this morning. Jesus said there in John chapter 6, He talked there to that religious crowd. And He said in verse 53, Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in you. And He's talking about the Word of God here. And He said, Whoso eateth My flesh and drinketh My blood hath eternal life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. One of the greatest blessings that we have this morning is to know that we're saved. To know that. God help these people that sit around today and they say, well, I hope I'm saved. I sure do hope I make it. I've done the best I can, and I've tried to do right, and I've tried to go to church, and I've given a little money. I sure do hope I make it. God help you poor people like that. They ain't got no more than that from God. Folks, let me tell you something. This morning, if you're saved, you ought to know what you got from God. You ought to know beyond a shadow of a doubt what you got. Let me take you to a scripture in the gospel and show you in the gospel of 1 John and show you something over there, how we can know how simple this thing is about life. Life is the greatest thing in the world. What good's anything if you're dead? What good's a man to die with millions of dollars worth of money and property and everything if he's dead? What good is it? And what good is anything if a man dies and goes to hell? Jesus said, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? Now in 1 John over there, John gives us some things that we can know beyond a shadow of a doubt. I've preached on this numbers of times. I've went through it several times, but let me bring it to your attention one more time this morning. In 1 John chapter 5, and look at verse 9. He said, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which He's testified of His Son. Now, if you're saved this morning, there's two things that you've got. You've got a witness. And that witness is Jesus Christ. It says there, This is the witness of God, which He's testified of His Son. The reason a lot of people don't know you're saved because you don't have the Son. You never trusted Jesus as your Savior. I know a lot of people, especially down here among the retiree age, you've lived so long, you've got so old, you ain't fit for nothing, you can't do nothing, so you just reform a little bit and take a do-better pill, and all the old lustful sins you used to enjoy, you're too old to do now, and you get in some church, you call yourself a pretty good fella. But that won't do it, folks. That won't do it. That won't get it done. There's got to be something more than you just getting too old to do anything wrong. Now, I know what I'm talking about. I know some folks that are a lot older than me, and they can tell me how long they've been to church and what all they, but they can't never tell me, listen, since that day I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, and God saved me. You know, if you can't say that, chances are, the reason you can't say that, you got no witness in you to tell you you're saved. God help these people that run around saying, oh, I don't believe you're eternally saved. Well, you're one of two things wrong. Probably you're not saved. But if you are saved, you're as ignorant as a hound dog about God. Now, the Bible says there that if we receive the witness of men, and everybody can do that, we can receive the witness of God because that's greater. And every person that's saved has a witness that he's saved. That's the Son of God. It says so in there. Now, there's something else you have if you're saved. In verse 10, it says this, he that believeth on the Son, see, when you believe, you get the witness. He that believeth on the Son hath the witness in himself. And listen to this. He that believeth not God and made him a liar. In other words, if you say you're saved, you can lose it. You call God a liar. Some of you religious people out there, and maybe you're listening to this tape, maybe it don't make no difference, but some of you that got it, and you know some of these dumb thumbs that run around and tell you ain't never saved, you ain't eternally saved, you lose your salvation, you might pass this on. If you got a salvation you can lose, you call God a liar. I mean, the devil's got to give you boldness to do that. The Bible said it made him a liar because he believed not the record that God gave his Son. Now you got a witness if you're saved, you got a record. And what is that record? Look at verse 11. And this is the record that God has given to us, eternal life. And this life, what kind of life is it? Eternal. This life is in His Son. You mean to tell me that you've trusted Jesus Christ, you've got the Son in you, you've got eternal life, and you're bold enough or religious enough to sit back and say, I think you can lose it. You got a spiritual problem that's built on a mental problem. Now, I know some people may not like this, but there it is. Folks, let me tell you something. You can't be saved and not be eternally saved. Not according to the Bible. Brother Jesus Christ, one of the greatest blessings you can have this morning is to know you're saved. What if you're walking along there and all of a sudden your heart quits and less than 10 seconds you're in eternity? Could happen to me, could happen to you, could happen to anybody. You better know for sure. Don't you sit back and say, well, I think. I sure hope so. I've done the best I can. I've tried so hard. Folks, let me tell you something. I ain't done none of that. Amen. I ain't done the best I can. And I ain't tried so hard. You know why? Because I believe I don't have to do none of that. Brother Jesus Christ saved me. He didn't require nothing of me but to trust Him. That's all I've done. I ain't saved because I do nothing. I ain't saved because I give nothing. I ain't saved because I live no standard. I'm saved because Jesus Christ saved me. And if you don't know that, chances are you're not saved. So one of the greatest things we've got this morning through the death of Christ is to know the blessings that we're saved. What a blessing that is. What good would anything be if a man sits back and thinks, I'm saved, but I hope I make it. I hope I can hold out. I hope I can get the evidence. I just hope I make it. Boy, I'm going to tell you something. If these preachers got up and they preached half as much on knowing you're saved as they do giving and healing in tongues and some of this other junk, you wouldn't have 50 million people running around knowing whether they're going to get in or out or what they're going to do or where they're going to be, whether they're going to heaven or hell. About all most people hear today on the radio is get healed or talk in tongues or send me some money or blah, 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 you know. And all the time they're preaching this, don't none of them know they're saved. Brother, the greatest thing, the greatest blessings that we've got this morning as a result of Christ's death is to know we got eternal life in Jesus Christ. Brother, let me tell you something. If Christ gave Himself to save us from all iniquity and God saved you and you can lose it, then Christ didn't make a complete, perfect, eternal atonement for sin on the cross. And if I didn't believe that, there wouldn't be no need to have a church. There wouldn't be no need to have a ministry. You'd throw your Bible in a trash can, going out here and live like hell. That's part of the way you're going anyway. Brother, Christ didn't die on the cross to give us a temporary stay. He died on the cross to give us eternal life. And that's what we got. So the greatest thing this morning of the blessings that we have as a result of Christ's death is to know we're saved. And then there's something else we got this morning. To know that, and this has to come in order. And that is to have peace with God. Isn't it great to lay down at night and know that you have peace with God? Now folks, let me tell you something. When you got peace with somebody, you don't fight them. Amen? When you got peace, you ain't at war. I mean, some of you people got so much peace with God. Why you get so upset over the Bible? Why does the Word of God get you so upset? And why come Bible preaching gets you so aggravated and turns you away from churches that still stand and preach the Word of God? How come you got to have such a little stinkified liberal church where they don't preach against nothing and they preach love, love everybody, and you're such a fine fellow? Why come you can't stand sound Bible preaching if you got peace with God? The Bible said in Romans chapter 5, it says, being justified by His grace, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ. Boy, let me tell you something. When God saved me, it says, "It therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Brother, when God saved me 31 years ago, I had a lot of things I ain't done right. I've been wrong a lot of times, but I'm going to tell you something this morning. I got peace with God. I'll tell you why I got peace too. When God showed me something here, I don't tell God I'm right and He's wrong. But when God showed me something here, I just confess, Lord, I'm wrong. You're right. I've been wrong a long time. Help me to get straightened out. People ain't got that kind of attitude about the Word of God today. They got no attitude. Well, I don't see nothing wrong with it. My gosh, Mama done it and Grandma done it, and I don't see nothing wrong with it. You don't even preach it like that. You know why you talk like that? Because you ain't got peace with God. You got a rebellion in your heart about the things of God. I wonder if you saved. You talk to some of these people today around this town about where they go to church and what they listen to and what they look at and what they're interested in, and they get all upset, you know. You know why? They probably don't have peace with God. I mean, it don't bother me if some preacher get up and rip my hide up one side and down the other. If he's in the Bible, I'll listen to him. And I won't get upset with him either. Not if he shoots it straight from the Word of God, he ain't going to get my indignation upset. He might break my heart. He might make me repent of a few things. And he might make me sorry for some things I've done. But I ain't going to get upset. You know why? Because I know I'm saved. And I got peace with God. And I'm going to keep it that way. Huh? Keep peace with God. I ain't going to fight God, folks. And then not only there's peace with God, but there's something else we got. We got access to God. But, I went in a fellow's office one time over in Fort Myers. He was some big county commissioner or something. And I went in there and I said, I'd like to see. So they said, who are you? as I'm just a little old preacher that wants him, and this little gal come out, she said, well, he don't want to see you. You know, but folks, let me tell you something. Maybe that little rip step didn't want to see me. But let me tell you something. God that created this universe, I can walk right in and talk to him anytime I want to. Amen. Now the Bible said over there, let me show you a scripture over there in Hebrews. And listen to what the Bible says here. In Hebrews chapter 4. There's two or three places on there. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 4 and what the Bible says. It says in chapter 4 and in verse 16, it said, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Boy, let me tell you something. When I get in trouble and I need help, I ain't got to go through no priest. I ain't got to get a drink of holy water and get sprinkled by some sewer water for one guy. I can walk right in the presence of God anytime I want to. You know why? Because I'm saved by the blood of Christ. And when Christ died on the cross, the Bible said the veil was rent from top to bottom. And God is sitting there with the door wide open just waiting for anybody to save that's got the blood of Christ applied to the soul to walk right in and talk about it. Oh, that's great, Brother Chris. That's great. And then the Bible said in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 19, it says there, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiness. Now here's how we do it, by the blood of Jesus Christ. Brother, there was a time when man couldn't come in the presence of God. Man would ever enter the presence of God, he'd have been killed instantly. But today, because of Christ's shed blood on the cross, anybody that's saved can walk boldly. You ain't got to sneak in, and you ain't got to kind of crouch down. You can walk right in there with your head up and your chest out and saying, Lord, I'd like to have a little talk with you. And God will say, tell me all about it. Folks, that's some blessings we've got because of the death of Christ. And not only that, we've been sanctified by the blood of Christ. Look there in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 10. It says, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. That word, some people get a little upset over that word sanctified, but that's a Bible term, and I've been sanctified since I've been saved. Somebody said one time, so I've been saved, sanctified, and got the Holy Ghost. I said, so what? Me too. Amen. Brother, the day I got saved, God saved me. God sanctified me, and he done it all with the Holy Ghost. You ain't got nothing on me if that's all you got. See, the Baptists don't believe that. Well, Bible believers do, though. And then in Romans chapter 3, verse 24, not only that, but we've been justified freely. Boy, that's the word, that's the word that the devil hates. That's the word that ever Armenian religion in the world hates and attacks. But in Romans chapter 3 and verse 24, the Bible says, being justified freely by his grace. You know what that means? That means that you didn't earn it. And you couldn't earn it. And you couldn't work for it. And God don't owe it to you. It means you got it for nothing. You know why you got it for nothing? Because Christ paid for it. That's the one word in the Bible that the devil hates more than anything in the world. And that word freely, because that's how God deals with mankind. God deals with mankind on a free basis. God wants to save you for nothing. And some of you people are so religious, you want to try to work it out. And God won't permit that. You're going to go to hell trying to work for it, and you could get it for nothing. the Jehovah's Witness and Seventh-day Advent and some of that crowd out trying to do something to get saved, and they going to hell trying to do something when God said, there it is, why don't you just take it for nothing? Being justified freely by His grace. And not only that, not only we're justified, but the Bible says that we're reconciled. We're reconciled to God. Let's look over there in Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2 and see what the Bible has to say about this doctrine of salvation. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 16, the Bible says, and that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross. There's how it was done, by the cross. That's the result of the death of Christ on the cross. We were reconciled to God in one body. That's talking about the church having slain the enemy thereof. But on the cross, Christ slew the enemy that kept us from coming to God. What was the enemy? It was sin. Sin kept us from God until Christ shed His blood. And now Christ has shed His blood. Sin has been taken care of. Sin is paid for. And we're reconciled to God by the death of the cross. And there's another verse in Colossians 20. And there's something else I want to show you over there in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. Not only do we have all that, but we got something else. We got forgiveness of sins. Forgiveness of sins. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, it says, in whom we have redemption. We got redemption. There's that purchase price we've been talking about now for this morning.